You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
What is up, guys? Neil here, back with another episode of Life of an Accounting Droid. This week's episode is number 58. It's going to be a quick, brief episode, a little bit earlier than usual, just because I'm taking the weekend off and I wanted to get it out before I took it off. And then I'll remind everybody about next week as well, but, with that, I'll jump right into the episode. Not too much going on, so, I'll start off with the usual theme, some news, an app review, and then I'll jump right into some entertainment news, TV episode review, and, Star Wars profile, and the You Can Relax segment. It'll just be one right after another, so... with that, I'll jump right into it. So to start it off, this week's theme is options, and that what they are financial derivatives that indicate that a contract has been sold from one party to another, and it offers the buyer the right to buy or sell it at an agreed price and is non-obligatory. It's only usually available for a specific time period or until a certain date, which is also known as the exercise date, but it is one or the other. And generally not both. So with that being said, I'll jump right into the news. So to start it off, Google Maps got an update to now have a Wi-Fi only mode and the ability to save maps to your SD card. So if you have limited on device storage, but you have an expandable storage option, then you can now save it there. Chrome 53 is going to officially block Flash by default and use HTML5 whenever possible, and also add the support to have in-browser payment support. And finally, Google's Inbox got an update to now support cards for Trello, GitHub, and Google Alerts, so you can read the full cards right from within the app, rather than having to open a website or go somewhere else on your device that is not Inbox. So that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's app review. And the app review for this week is Netflix's Fast Speed Test. So a while back, I forget how far back offhand, Netflix launched a website called Fast that allows you to check your internet connection's download speed so you can easily see how fast your download is and what kind of connection you'll get. Preferably just to test with Netflix, but you can also use it to test your download speed for other things as well. And so this week they released the app for Android and iOS, so you can check your download speed on the go so you can see how fast you'll be able to stream Netflix, or if you want to alternatively use it for YouTube, Amazon Video, game streaming, or other apps in general. So once you install the app, it's pretty straightforward. It automatically starts checking your speed. You can pause the connection if you'll be switching connections or anything like that. You can restart it once you've run the test, just in case you don't think the number looks right. And all it does is test your download speed, so you get that number and that is it. Swiping up on the app will allow you to find out more information about the app, why it runs it the way it does, what other options are available that are offered in apps like speed tests apps. So you get that kind of cost benefit analysis on if you want to know what kind of the things the app itself is testing versus other speed testing apps. And the calculations are based on the ping to Netflix's own server. So if you're kind of wondering how it knows, gives you the speed, you know that it's going to them and back to you. So the app is available for free for Android and iOS. And there's no login required, no other special knowledge, no other special information that you need to use the app. You just install it, launch it, and you are good to go. So that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's entertainment news. So first off, the Star Wars Force Awakens 3D Collector's Edition has been announced to be released on October 31st. It's going to be a 4-disc collection. I think it's a Blu-ray version, DVD, and then other content as well. The 3D Collector's Edition is going to add more bonus content, deleted scenes, and more behind-the-scenes commentary, so look out for that. And in other news, Green Day announced that their new album, which will also be a politically based album, is going to be releasing on October 7th. It will be called Revolution Radio, and is now available for pre-order. If you order the physical copies from their website, then you can get the single right away. I forgot what it's called offhand. I didn't make note of it, but it is also available for pre-order on Amazon, iTunes, and Google Play. As far as what I watched this week, not too much. I finished watching Vikings, so I've caught up on all four seasons. I think season 5 starts in 2017, so I'm all ready for that. I won't spoil it too much, but I did enjoy the show more than I thought, so I can't wait for the next season to come out. I haven't had a chance to watch Mr. Robot, so I'll probably try this weekend if I have a chance, but I may end up waiting until it's available for streaming on Amazon Prime, or just wait until the season finishes and binge watch that way. But in the meantime, I have started rewatching Stargate SG-1. I've gone through season 1, episodes 1 through 7. I think I've seen a good number of them, if not all of them, but I kind of wanted to see them in order just to get a better frame of mind as far as how the show released in its airing order, rather than just seeing how it, whatever order they were on TV when they were on air back in the day. So I know I did watch them out of order, but it gives a good perspective to know that some of the episodes I thought were later on in the series are actually early on in season 1. So there's that. I'm just going one after another until I get through it, and that's really all there is for that. So on that note, I actually wanted to review Stargate SG-1 Season 1 Episode 3, Emancipation. Just because I wanted to review an episode that is early on in the series. A bit of the trivia, one of the trivia was that it was actually the lowest rated episode in the series, and I kind of see why, compared to even the other couple of episodes that I've seen or rewatched so far. I'm kind of not comparing it to episode 1 because episode 1 was kind of the kickoff. It's off the heels of the movie, so it does have that connection, so it is a bit different than most other episodes. And then episode 2 is the final runoff from episodes 1 and kind of the consequences, so that's basically episode 3 is the first standalone episode that is kind of like the first episode to me in the series, and it's okay, but figured I'd review it. So the original release date of the episode was August 9th, 1997. It has a runtime of 44 minutes. A brief summary of the episode is that on the seemingly peaceful planet of Simarca, the team encounter a race of Mongol-like humans whose women have no rights whatsoever. Things turn bad when the team realizes Captain Samantha Carter has been kidnapped and sent and sold to an enemy tribe led by Turgon. So that pretty much tells you everything that happens. They land on the planet, they save a kid from being eaten by dogs, and then they realize, and then they see some of the other people, a couple of other people, and Daniel Jackson realizes that they seem to be Mongol-like, and when they get to the camp, that this society has been developing for based on that culture for all this time, for all, who knows how many years. But the whole, I think the, to me at least, what the reason why the episode is probably one of the lowest rated episodes was because it didn't seem to have much other connection to the rest of the Stargate universe. It just seemed like they visited a culture that happened to be progressing like as if it was a Mongol culture, but there's no connection to the Ghoul, the System Lords, even the Asgard, or anyone else. It just seemed like the random group of people, as if they were a lost tribe in Asia or something like that, and that was about it. Overall it was good. It was a good episode in that they brought the culture around, but they didn't actually seem to progress it, as if they were afraid of the Ghoul, as if there was a reason that they progressed, so as if they were stuck in that same age, and because they had no other enemies, that life kept on going as is. But it did bring up a couple of interesting notes that they did bring up, that you don't never mess with the local culture when visiting, mostly because you don't want to change their history inadvertently. It's something we saw in Star Trek Into Darkness, where Captain Kirk messes with the culture and they actually left an impact. There's also the varying historical importance of women in the local culture. So some cultures treat them as goddesses, some don't, but it's hard to draw the line as far as how to interfere with the culture, as like basically the first note, and how to help women when they are in trouble as well. And then also, love is love no matter where one goes. So the reason that the good tribe's chief only kept one wife was because he was in love, and then also the importance of helping his son was because he's in love, even though she's from the quote-unquote enemy's tribe's, even though she's the enemy's tribe's father's daughter. So things to consider there. So overall, it wasn't a bad episode, but because it was the meeting, it was missing the whole Stargate influence. It seemed like a random episode that doesn't seem to really fit anywhere else, even though they could have easily added the element that they worship the fighting style of the Gould or something along those lines. So on that note, as far as Gould is concerned, I was thinking about how to bring in the Star Wars profile for this week, and I just happened to think of the Rancor, just because it was that kind of hit me. And then also I started playing Star Wars Commander, and I was like, hey, this, and I actually won some Rancor because of I think it was a defense or something like that, but that's neither here nor there. So I figured I'd talk a little bit about Rancors. So they are actually native carnivorous reptiles from the planet Dathomir who grow to be approximately 16 feet tall. So they're big no matter what. The one that we see on Tatooine in Star Wars Episode 6 may not have grown as tall because they kept him hungry and in a cage, but would have still been towering over Luke, as we saw. They're born naturally with armored skin that's strong enough to withstand blaster bolts, so they are pretty strong creatures and a good defense against blasters. And they are also known to exist on other planets as a subspecies called Jungle Rancor, and they are notably found on other planets such as Felucia and Teth. They are hard breed creatures to control, but they can be kept as pets, as we saw in Jabba's palace. So that's really all that we know for the most part about them. So finding them is hard and does require great strength and great skill, but can be defeated if one knows how to defeat them. So that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's You Can Relax segment. And for this one, I wanted to make note that I did have a chance to watch the Olympic ceremonies this year. This time around, I watched them on TV rather than streaming online using a third-party source, just because I didn't have a chance to find one. Last time around, I don't think I was working at the time, so I did have a chance to watch it online. Since I do have a job now, I had to wait till the televised version. I did record it, I did start the DVR on it, so I'm glad I did. Mostly because the first hour and a half just went to commentary. So the thing that bothered me the most this time around was that while they did air it on TV, the time delay seemed unnecessary just because there is DVRing options available. And that there was no commercial free option available where, let's say they wanted to air in the afternoon, they could have, even with limited commercials. But that is the one thing that I will give them a plus on, in that they did have very short commercial breaks. So that break between events in the ceremony was pretty brief. But the other thing was that it continued to bother me was that they were talking over key important parts of the show, like the music, which is obviously requires a lot of listening to. There was one point when some random lady's face just popped up and started explaining the music, which I felt could have waited, went to a quiet point in the show, or it could have been explained ahead of time, like before they for me, I would have preferred maybe after each commercial break, that here's what's coming up in the program. Since it's time delayed already, that they could have interjected that and say, okay, well, here's what's coming up on this segment, and let the segment run its course. But The show itself was presented well. I like the ceremonies in that it, as always, they show a good brief summary of the key histories of the nation, how they progressed, what events signified the growth and culture of that nation. And I did like that we have progressively improving visuals over the years, so each time there's more and more to learn and more great presentation in each opening ceremony. So it's definitely worth the watch. If you're able to watch it commercial free or raw and unedited, that's perfect. So that's the only thing that really bugs me, is that I had to watch it with commercials and all that. But maybe next time offer a streaming version with no commercial breaks. And for me, I prefer to watch it commercial free and without any commentary. So that's the one thing I did like about the 2012 Olympics, that I've watched it online and it was perfect to watch as is, and just to see the visuals and performance without any interruptions. So that's my thing. That's the kind of thing that helps me relax, especially too, is that I like to watch without commercials and just watch things straight through, no commentary. And if I want commentary, I'll rewatch something after the fact. But that is all for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. And you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. If you want to get past episodes, links to subscribe and all of that good stuff, you can find it all at PatelN01.com, including links to the Patreon for Life of an Accounting Droid and the Geek.io Network. If you like the episode, be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, a thumbs up in Google Play, or Google Play Music. If you want to find this show or any show on the Geek.io Network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. And as a reminder, there's no episode next week, as I have plans for next week. The week after, we'll see, depending on how everything goes for me next weekend. There's that. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.